Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Local food advocates talk about the energy wasted transporting food long distances, but there are a lot of other ways energy is spent getting food to our tables. And by some measurements, transporting food long distances can actually be more efficient than local production. Eric Garza is a lecturer at the Rubenstein School for Environment and Natural Resources at the University of Vermont. He studies the energy inputs and outputs at small farms in the state, helping them to become more efficient. Garza measures that energy in the form of calories.
What our agricultural system does right now, at least in our industrial model, is it takes largely fossil fuel calories, which is energy, and it turns that into food. Calories are a measure of heat. So whether that heat comes from combusting gasoline or diesel, or whether that heat comes from combusting, you know, a sprig of broccoli, it's all heat.
So how do you calculate the costs to produce 1 calorie of food? What goes into that calculation?
I look at direct energy costs, which are basically all the different types of fuel that they use on their farm. So asking them, how many gallons of diesel do you use in a year? How many gallons of gasoline, propane? How many kilowatt hours of electricity, you know, et cetera? And then I also ask for a lot of information on the infrastructure that they use. So how many transport vehicles, how many tractors, what other types of farm machinery, what kind of buildings do you use, what's their square footage, what's their material composition. And then there are different resources that I have access to that I can use to estimate what's called the embodied energy in a lot of these different pieces of infrastructure. You know, embodied energy being the energy that it took off the farm to manufacture those, to deliver them to where they're used, and then to maintain them over the course of their useful life.
And then do you calculate things like how much it costs to get that product from the farm to the consumer?
So some of the farms that I work with, like the dairy farm, for instance, sells their product as a commodity. So, you know, someone from Organic Valley comes by every day or two and empties his bulk tank and takes the milk off. So he's not really responsible for delivering his product to consumers. Other farms that I work with have a much bigger role in delivering their products to consumers. So I did an audit of a vegetable farm that operates in the Intervale, and they do deliveries to restaurants, they do deliveries to City Market and other co-ops. They also do deliveries to some other institutions sometimes, and so they play a more active role in delivering product. And then I've also done audits of a farm that operates primarily as a CSA. So they require their customers to come to the farm and pick up their CSA share. So they effectively market directly to consumers, but they don't do any of the distribution of that. If you will, they externalize the distribution energy costs to their customers.
So if you take those two farms at the Intervale, which is a farming area in Burlington, lots of different kinds of farms are there and farmers. And as you said, there are different models of farms within the Intervale. So if you take those two vegetable farms and one has a CSA, so consumers come directly to the farm, and the other one distributes its own produce to stores and restaurants in the area. For the two farms, it's going to look like it's more energy efficient to be a CSA.
It will. Yes, it definitely will.
And from the farmer's perspective, I can understand how that may influence what they decide to do in terms of how to get their food distributed. In terms of the total input for how much it costs to get that food from farm to my mouth, it may still be the same for those two farms. You're not calculating in that how much the total cost to produce that food in every different way is, right?
Yes, that's correct.
So beyond the value for the farmer, is there a value to consumers in knowing the kinds of information that you are giving to the farms?
I think there is. You know, you can look at the 27,000-foot view from the farmer's perspective, but you can also try to, you know, get a system-wide understanding of how energy flows through an entire food system, which includes farms, but is definitely not limited to farms, because there's all kinds of distribution networks. There are retail outlets, there are wholesale outlets, there are food service companies like restaurants and caterers. And then, of course, there's all the energy that we use in our homes, including, you know, the energy that we use to drive to and from the grocery stores or to the farmers markets to pick up our food.
Or to refrigerate the food after you've gotten it.
Yeah,
like
I would
that.
Call that in-home.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so refrigeration, freezing, food processing, microwaves, cooking.
So what do we need to know about that? Because as a consumer trying to make an informed choice, it helps me to know how much energy it costs the farm to produce that food. But I also probably want to know how much it costs to get to me and to get onto my plate.
Yeah, and I would love to be able to answer that question. It's a, you know, from a theoretical standpoint, I can answer it if I have data. Mm-hmm. I can answer that question if I can get a bunch of people to agree to, you know, take part in a study, but that hasn't happened yet.
One of the things that I think could be concerning to people, depending on their perspective, is that from your calculations, it looks like often the large-scale farms in other parts of the country are actually more energy efficient when we're talking about these calculations that you're doing than the local farms, small-scale, diversified farms, in terms of how many calories it takes to produce one calorie of food.
That can be true. That can be true. I think that most of the small farmers have not, you know, they pay attention to cost of production in terms of money. They don't necessarily pay attention to their energy use. Whereas when you have really large operations, you know, mega size, you know, industrial organic farms or conventional farms, oftentimes they have someone on staff who does that kind of thing. So as, you know, the little guys get, you know, more acclimated to the idea of paying attention to energy, I think that we'll see a lot of efficiency gains on the small scale.
But explain to me how that works, because one of the things that we kept hearing, you know, as the locavore movement started to gain some traction was that it's hugely energy inefficient to have to truck your food or ship your food from one part of the country or the world to Vermont. And so it's better for the environment if I'm buying my food locally.
Yeah, that's true.
How does that work?
Part of that is efficiencies to economies of scale with transport. So it's true that we are moving avocados from California to Vermont, but those avocados are being transported on a really large tractor trailer, probably. And that tractor trailer is loaded full, and it burns a lot of diesel in terms of miles per gallon, but it's also moving a lot of product.
Mm-hmm.
One of the challenges that we see operating on small scale is that rather than moving large amounts of product on a completely full delivery vehicle, we're oftentimes moving smaller amounts of food in a much smaller delivery vehicle. So the end result is that, in general, when you're moving a ton of produce in a small pickup truck to a farmer's market, the amount of gasoline or diesel that you're burning to move that food is going to be a lot higher than what it would have been if that same amount of or that same type of food had been trucked across country.
Right. So one bag of tomatoes that I'm taking from the farm to my house or from, you know, going from my house to the farm and back, that's a lot more inefficient.
Yeah, you're investing an awful lot of energy to move that relatively small amount of food as compared to trucking that across country.
So I know you're not in the business of proclaiming or making us make judgments about our food supply, but what does that tell you about the arguments that we're having in this country about our food? Because obviously there's more that goes into it. We're talking as well about you know, the cost to the landscape. We're talking about wages for farmers and farm workers. But in terms of what you and I have been talking about, it sort of shifts the discussion in some ways when we talk about energy efficiency.
Yep. I think it does shift the conversation. I mean, one of the things that it does is it makes it very clear that this is a very complicated issue, and it's also the kind of issue that's not necessarily etched in stone. So the situation we have where short-distance transport is probably a lot more energy-intensive than long-distance transport is not something that has to necessarily stay that way. You know, I think the Intervale Food Hub, for instance, is working on ways of delivering their CSA shares to radically reduce the energy side and the monetary cost of the transportation model that they're using. You know, they deliver to large institutions and, you know, deliver a whole bunch of CSA shares to a single place, you know, making sure that they're filling that delivery truck and then minimizing the distance that that truck has to travel. And so there are ways to make, you know, these local distribution systems more efficient. You know, the other side of this thing is that there are, in fact, a lot of external costs that go along with these long-distance, you know, globalized distribution models. You know, you and I can't necessarily develop a relationship with the farms or the farmers who produce our food in California. And because we can't do that, a lot of the really terrible labor practices that might involve, you know, undocumented migrant workers are outside of our view. And so we just don't think about that in our our internal calculus when we go to the supermarket and decide what we're going to buy.
So your overall goal with these energy audits for farms?
One of the goals is helping farmers understand how energy flows through their production systems. Another, I think, is just giving consumers a better understanding of how these local food systems actually work. One of the things I've noticed, interested in the local food movement for a long time is that a lot of people create and carry all kinds of assumptions about what local food can and cannot do and how things actually work. And I'm not necessarily interested in pulling the rug out from people, but I like people to be making decisions, particularly, you know, Vermont policymakers, to be making decisions based on accurate information. And to do that, we actually have to measure stuff. And so that's one of the big reasons why I've become interested in doing these energy audits and kind of publicizing the results.
Well, Eric, thank you very much for telling us about this. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Eric Garza is a lecturer at the Rubenstein School for Environment and Natural Resources at the University of Vermont. He'll be talking about some of what we've been discussing at the UVM Food Systems Summit next week.